And I appreciate some of the song choice. Over the thousands of songs that we have to pick from to sing, the message never gets old, no matter what the song is. I used to tolerate my parents listening to Southern gospel music when I was younger, and I find the last few years I've been really, really enjoying listening to the message and the music of Southern gospel music. I thought I was getting old like a year ago because I still liked Hillsong, you know, Shout to the Lord and Potter's Wheel and some of those songs. I thought I was aging myself, but you know, Darlene Check and Hillsong, they've been in rotation on the radio lately, and I'm feeling good about myself. I'm not as old as I thought I was, I guess. I don't know. But the message never gets old. The music and message. We've been building a foundation of our understanding of the gospel. We've been in the book of Romans and building this understanding of the gospel message and what the message of the gospel means to our lives. And we went through an overview of the gospel. How to receive Jesus. We talked about just the process. What does it take to receive the Lord? And what does it mean to receive the Lord? And what does that all include? And we've talked about becoming a part of the family of God. I'm glad I'm a part of the family of God and the importance of that family and becoming a part of that family. We talked about God's law, the Word of God, and the importance of God's Word in our lives. And we talked about going from sin to victory, going from being a sinner to having victory in Jesus Christ. We talked about the role of God's Spirit in that, the importance of God's Spirit in having Christian victory. We are transitioning today from an understanding. We have a couple more messages in this series. We're transitioning from an understanding of sin and victory over sin to the question, now what? I'm a born-again believer. I have that victory that comes through Jesus Christ. I am a Christian. I am saved. Now what? How often I have determined to begin something, decided I'm going to start something, and then the question, well, what now? What do I do now? I want to cook myself some food. All right, well, now what? What am I going to cook? How do I cook the food that I want to cook? Or I decide to fix something on my car, and then I ask the question, well, now what? How do I go about fixing it? What tools do I need? What parts do I need? Do I need the manual? What do I need to fix this in my car? I remember about a year ago I bought a coffee table, and it comes in this little box, and you open the box up, and it just all those little parts, so many little parts just for a coffee table, and I just ask myself, well, now what? What do I do with it? You got to follow the instructions and start to put it together piece at a time. Well, the Christian life is kind of like that. We receive Jesus. We're born again. We have eternal life, but now what? What do I do with this Christian life? Now I become a carrier of the light of Christ. Now that I'm a born-again believer, now that I have eternal life, now that I'm a Christian, now I become a carrier of that message, of the light of Christ. I become the one who shines the light of Christ to those who are around me. We are to carry the light of Christ, not to bend to the wants of our culture, not to bend to the wishes of those around us and how they live, but to carry the light of Christ and show that light to others. Today I want to determine to do three things as a believer. Number one, carry the light of Christ, not another. God has not rejected his people. In the book of Romans, Paul was talking about he did not reject his people. He cut those off that have rejected Christ, that rejected him, that rejected his word, and he grafted us in. He didn't reject them, but he grafted us in because they rejected him. His plan, is, according to Paul, was to include the faithful of the Israelites, the Israeli believers in the resurrection. He was to include them. They were to take part in that. He hadn't rejected them entirely, but they rejected him, and so he had cut them off. God's mercy is available to everyone. Look at Romans chapter 12 there, verse 1 through 2. He says, I urge you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service of worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You've been saved by the mercies of God. You are not your own, brothers, sisters. You have been bought with a price. Jesus died on the cross for you. We occasionally see these glimpses of the love of God. We see in the Bible how God cared for the people of Israel, how he loved them and cared for them and is even willing to save. By his love, he sent Jesus to die for us. By his love, by his mercies, by his compassion for us, he didn't want us to die eternally, but that we could have eternal life. He sent Jesus. Jesus died on the cross for you and for me. That was the compassion, the love, the mercies of God, that we didn't deserve it, but he sent him anyways. Jesus went. Jesus willingly surrendered his life for us, the compassion, the mercies of God. It was the will of God that he died. And a horrific death for you and for me, for all of our sins, that we would say yes to Jesus as Lord and Savior. We are bought. We are not our own. We have been purchased by the blood of Jesus. When we say yes to the Lord Jesus, we are saying yes to that purchase that he made on our behalf for our sins. But yet it is hard to surrender ourselves over to him. It's hard to say, you are Lord of my life in every area and in every facet of my life. Lord, I surrender over to you. That is really hard to do. We are surrendering over our wills to the Lord. God wants us to no longer toot our own horn, but let his light shine in us and through us. We're to be changed by his Spirit, transformed by God's Spirit in us, changed in our thinking. We think differently. We see things differently. We are to be transformed and changed. You become the evidence of Christ in you. You are being transformed by the Spirit of God. You become the evidence of Jesus in your life. They see Jesus shining in you and through you. You become the evidence of his work on the cross because he is changing and transforming your heart and your life. A house without lights is hard to see when you're driving at night by the road. If you drive by the church at night, it is hard to see this church. It is really dark without lights on. But you turn the lights on in here and in the fellowship hall, you can see everything crystal clear. It becomes brilliantly bright. It's wonderful. It's like that. Drive by any house at night and the lights are off, you might not see it. But you turn the lights on and it becomes a statement almost. It is so bright and the lights are so bright at night, especially out here in the country. Maybe not so much in the city. But out here in the country, it's like that. It's dark at night. But you turn those lights on, it becomes easy to see. We become that evidence. We become that light that's shining. The light of Jesus is shining in you, and people can look at you, and they can see the light of Christ. They can see Jesus in a world that is darkened, in a world that needs that message. Your light needs to shine brightly so they can see Jesus in you and through you. On the other hand, do not be off-colored by the neon lights of the world. This is just a metaphor, obviously. But we're talking about don't let the distractions of the culture that's around you, don't let the distractions of the world keep you from making time for Jesus. Make time for the Lord. Make time in your life for God. Don't let those distractions, and there's so many distractions today, don't let them distract you from making time for Jesus in your life. Don't fall to the attraction, to the brilliant neon lights. Don't fall to the attraction of sin. Don't put anything else before God. A couple weeks ago, I preached harshly against idolatry. And I will continue, if I must, to preach harshly against idolatry because God hates idolatry. Cover to cover in the Bible, God hates idolatry. And God does not want us to put anything before him. Amen. Whether it's time or whether it's sin, nothing is before God. Amen. I know that's a harsh message, but it's a true one nonetheless. Don't compromise.
His light.
Number two, lift up God, not pride. Verse 3, Paul says, I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with the sound judgment according to the measure of faith that God has distributed to every man. We need to begin by pushing down pride. Pride thinks too highly of itself. Pride, this kind of pride, not talking about I'm proud of my children, but this kind of pride that Paul's talking about, thinks too high of itself. It thinks it's better than it really is. It is too good for someone or too good for something. It thinks too much of itself. It criticizes others. That's this kind of pride. When you begin by pushing this, God hates this kind of attitude, this kind of pride that criticizes others, looks down on others, thinks too highly of itself. God hates this kind of attitude. He calls it an abomination in the book of Proverbs. It is an abomination. God hates this kind of pride. It is a stain on any of your efforts of you trying to be a good. We talked about humanism in class today. Any efforts as a Christian of you trying to be good, you trying to do good, you trying to represent Christ, you don't, that, trying to let that light of Jesus shine in you, you have this kind of pride. You begin to criticize others, push others down, look down on others. It becomes a stain on any of those efforts to shed the light of Christ, to share Jesus with others. How can you love others? How can you help others? How can you serve others when you're making fun of them? I say, they smell. But they're out of style. Or they have a physical problem. No matter what your thoughts are against that individual, it becomes a stain on any of your efforts to help them or to love them or to care for them, to share the light of Jesus. If you want Jesus' light to shine in you and through you, do not look down on them. Do not criticize them. It darkens that light. Don't lift up self. Instead, lift up God. Lift him up in your conversations. How you talk about others, how you talk about the Lord in your life. Lift him up in your conversation. Make him a focus of your life in your conversations. By your actions, how you treat others, how you behave in your everyday life. Lift up the Lord. Let people know that you're a Christian by your love, by your actions, by your conversation, by your worship. Lift up the Lord in your worship. Worship the Lord. He deserves our worship. He deserves to be praised. Worship the Lord. Lift him up. I love the statement that John the Baptist makes. He says, he must increase, but I must decrease. I love that statement. I love that John made that statement. What a powerful statement. Less of me, more of him. I want them to see less of Paul, and I want them to see more of Jesus. I want them to see less of my actions and my behaviors and my conversation, and I want them to see Jesus shining in me and through me. I want my conversations and my actions and my behaviors to reflect Jesus. Less of me and more of him. I love when John the Baptist says that. In turn, when I begin to glorify the Lord and begin to lift him up, begin to worship him, begin to magnify him in my life and in my conversation, I experience God. In my heart and in my life, I begin to experience a deeper relationship with him. Here, when Paul talks about a measure of faith, this represents that experience. Knowing the Lord, having an experience, a relationship with the Lord. He's given to every man a measure of faith. Lift up God. Lift him up by using the sound judgment that God has given you. Sound judgment, clear understanding. Your Bibles might say sober thinking. This clear understanding, especially as we see others how Jesus sees them. We begin to view others the way that God views them. We begin to have this clear understanding of others and how God loves those that are around us or hates the sin that's around us or doesn't want us to involve ourselves in the sin of the world. We begin to have that clear understanding, that sound judgment. Sound judgment here is contrasting prideful, selfish thinking. We ought not to think more of ourselves than we ought, and that is directly contrasted with this idea of sound judgment. So in other words, if we are having that kind of prideful, selfish thinking, if we're thinking too much of ourselves, if we're thinking too highly of our own abilities and our own goodness, this is in clear contrast to having sound judgment, viewing ourselves properly, having humility, seeing who really is important, and it really isn't us. The ability to have sound judgment comes from this faith, comes from this experience with the Lord, a transformed mind, a transformed heart, which comes by the Spirit of God at work in you. And I preached on that last week. His light, His faith. Number three, use the gifts given to you. We're talking about letting the light of Christ shine in you, allowing you to be that vessel, that bearer of God's light. Here's a way that you can do it. Use the gifts God has given you. Verses 6 through 8, Paul says this, we have diverse gifts according to the grace that is given to us. If prophecy, according to the proportion of faith. If service, in serving. He who teaches, in teaching. He who exhorts, in exhortation. He who gives with generosity. He who rules with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. God wants His light to shine, not our lights, not Paul's light, but He wants His light to shine in me and through me. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. His light shining in me. The focus has been on His grace, His mercy, Him being lifted up. Not us being lifted up, not ourselves, not our own pride, not our own gifts and grace and mercy, but God, His grace, His mercy, Him being lifted up. God is not looking for you to talk about your efforts. God is not looking for you and me to talk about our grades or our salaries or boasting on ourselves, but rather God wants us to boast in Him and to trust in Him. To look to Him. He is where our boasting is at. By His Spirit, He grants us these abilities. By His Spirit, He gives us these abilities and desires in order for Him to shine in us and through us. His light shining in us and through us. Don't keep these to yourselves. Don't keep these gifts to yourselves. Don't be like the man that buried the talents in the ground instead of investing them. Do not keep what God has given you to yourselves, but use them for His glory. Don't hide that light under the bushel basket. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Hide it under the bushel basket? No! I'm going to let it shine. I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine. Don't hide it under the bushel basket. Don't bury what God has given you. But He has given you these gifts so that you can bless the body of Christ. He has given you these gifts so you can lead others to Him. He's given you these gifts so that His light can shine in you and through you. His light, not our light, His light. The list given here in Romans is different from the one in 1 Corinthians. If you were to look at the one in 1 Corinthians, it's not the same list. No list is complete. I don't know if this is Paul's idea of a complete list, but when I write lists, my lists aren't ever complete. We can assume more can be put in there, more abilities that God can use in you and through you. However, this list is different, and it deals with abilities and desires that stick with us. God has given us these abilities, and he's given you the desire to use these abilities. He's putting that passion in you. And I say abilities because these are things you can do. The things on this list here are things that you are actually able to accomplish. If you just put the effort into it, you can do these things. So they are abilities that God puts in on us. And I say desires because you must be motivated to do them. You might have these abilities, but if you don't have the desire to use them, you're just going to sit on the couch and not use them. Or you're going to sit in the pew and not use them. They're just not going to get used. So God gives us these abilities, and he gives us the desires to put them into effort. God's Spirit put them there. God put them there. Some, he says, may prophesy. Prophesy. The ability to proclaim God's word and his truth. Often I think of it like a pulpit ministry. We have the ability to speak God's word as we feel inspired to speak God's word. We are prophesying God's word to you. Building faith, speaking against sin, we are prophesying truth to you. He's given some the ability and desire to serve, able to show love by meeting practical needs, serving others. We have a service ministry in this church. We are serving our community, trying to meet the needs of those that can't help themselves or find a hard time to help themselves. Some others serve as simple as putting chairs up after potluck. That is serving. That is serving, meeting a very practical need. Some are able to teach, able to show practically how to live God's word in our everyday life, how to put God's word into practice. There are some who are great teachers here, some who have great class ministries. There's some exhort, able to encourage and motivate others towards a faith in God. We have an evangelism ministry in here which is attempting to exhort people to come to know Jesus as Lord and Savior. Some are great at exhorting others to grow in their faith. Some are gifted with exhortation. Some are givers, able to use money and resources that God has given you to help the church, to help others. Maybe that is what God has blessed you with and given you a passion for, is using your money and resources to bless. Some rule. The word here is rule. Your Bibles might say lead. Your Bibles might say have administration. You're able to lead, able to have the gifting of leading and administration. Do we have a church board that governs this church? There are those that are governing and organizing and leading in our own congregation. Maybe that is what God has blessed you with, to be a great leader. There are some who show mercy. You're able to sympathize with those that are hurting. You're able to show compassion with those that are suffering. Perhaps that was what God has blessed you with, a big heart to sympathize and show mercy to others, to put an arm around those that are hurting. This is similar to, we have a ministry of elders in this church, and that's what those men feel called and passionate about, is showing mercy and care and blessing the body. I see the body at work in this. When you look at this passage from verse 6 through 8, I see the body of Christ at work. And not just work in word. We often talk about doing the work, but real work. Really doing what God has gifted you with, given you a passion for, really engaging the work and the ministry of the body of Christ. I've said it in the past and I'll say it again. You are those called to the ministry of Christ. It's a body ministry. It's all of you lifting up, exhorting, ministering to, putting an arm around, loving, sharing, teaching. It's all of you ministering to the body. And that's what makes the body so wonderful and so powerful. An effective body is a body that is all at work. The hand is working, the foot is working, the legs are working. Not just one part, not just one component, but all the bodies. The eyes are doing its job. The ears are doing its job. Everybody doing the work. God has gifted you. God has given you a passion for this work. Everybody doing the work. We're transforming from an understanding of sin and victory over sin to the question, now what? Now what? And the answer to that question, we are to carry the light of Jesus Christ. We are to be the bearers of that light, not to bend to the wants of our culture, not to give in to sin, not to compromise, not to take the message of the gospel and compromise with the world, but to be bearers of that light, to show His light to others. Lift up God, not pride. Lift up God, not self. Let His light shine in you. Let His light shine in you by using these gifts that God has given to you. Let His light shine in you by you being willing to be used by the Lord today. I want you to begin to make that decision. If you've never made that decision before, I want you to begin to make that decision to be a light bearer for Jesus. Pray with me.